I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a closing appeal. We're going to see in Philippians chapter 4 that one of the headings in this chapter of Philippians chapter 4 in the NIV version, the Apostle Paul says, a closing appeal for steadfastness and unity. A closing appeal for steadfastness and unity. And I was thinking about as I woke up this morning, today is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles here in 2021, day 7 of the Feast of Tabernacles. And tonight going into tomorrow, I believe, starts this 8th day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is like kind of like a closing ceremony. It was the day, it was called the last and greatest day of the feast. It was the day when Jesus stood up and said, if anybody who's thirsty, let him come to me, and out of him will come rivers of living water. And so this was the closing ceremony. So I'm thinking about this idea of just a closing of God's yearly cycle. We're starting back fresh. We're starting brand new on a yearly cycle. But one more day, a closing appeal. And as I looked at this passage of scripture, looking at Philippians chapter 4, there's a lot of the things that we've been discussing and covering and talking about over this last year. A lot of the concepts we've been talking about consistently are found in this passage of Philippians chapter 4. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1, and the prayer of Jabez that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves. And I think as we go through this passage of scripture today, it's going to help us to go through that other half of prayer. But let's get started. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us. To bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So normally as we finish up our prayer, we start getting right into the other half of prayer. And today I want to do it just a little bit differently. I want us to read this passage of scripture from Philippians chapter 4. And I want it to be some reminders for us. Okay, here's the four fundamentals we talk about. If you've been following along the last couple of days, we've been talking about four fundamentals of the other half of prayer. Number one, God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light, getting positioned in the light. And that happens through what? Through gratitude. Through the forgiveness of sins, it's what brings us in. And start receiving that from God. Praise, thanksgiving continually. And that forgiveness has to flow through us. We got to forgive ourselves. And it's got to go flow through us to other people and not into the world. where we walk in that same grace and forgiveness with other people that God has given us. That's fundamental number one. Number two, magnify the light. God's released us from darkness, transferred us into the light. But then we get to magnify that light. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. To magnify the light is to focus on what's lovely, just, true, praiseworthy, of good report. To focus on God, his steadfast, unfailing love, that nothing's impossible for him. He's always on time. He can make all grace abound to you. So we magnify that light. But God gives us a choice. We can choose to magnify darkness. We can choose to focus on all the issues and problems and evil and darkness in the world. And the more we magnify them, how do we magnify? By meditating on it, talking about it, rolling it over in our minds consistently. We're all thinking about something all day long. We're all talking about something all day long. And what is it that we're magnifying? Is it light or is it darkness? And when we magnify light through gratitude and praise and focusing on God, that peace that surpasses all understanding begins to come in. That joy of the Lord that is your strength comes in. Energy begins to raise up in you. Faith begins to rise up in you. Versus the alternative. When we're focused on darkness, it's like the energy levels begin to lower. Fear and stress and worry and anxiety and dread and insecurity and all these negative emotions begin to come in. So that's our second fundamental. Magnify the light. Consistent praise and thanksgiving for being transferred into the light because of the forgiveness of sins. Then we got to magnify that light, all about what we're meditating on throughout the day. And then we do what we know to do. What do you know to do? When you're in the light, you can see, you can know what to do. Taking consistent action on the things that you know to do, not the things you're unclear on, not the things you're uncertain of. What do you know to do today? And focus on executing them with joy, executing them with peace and joy and confidence in God and a good attitude. And then our fourth one, staying tuned in and listening to God, following his leading throughout the day, taking the time to get still and to listen and to reflect on what you hear throughout the day and just writing it down, recording your journey with God. Let's take a look at this passage here. It's Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul. So in the NIV, it says this at the top, the closing appeal for steadfastness and unity. Steadfastness and unity, closing appeal. What is steadfastness? It's consistency. It's being immovable. Just consistent and fixed. We talked about this year, the word established, becoming established in our heart, established in God's covenant of peace and love with us. So he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. So notice the people, we've talked about this year, the people are the treasure. People are the treasure of heaven. What is the treasure of heaven? It's God and people. People are the treasure of heaven. My joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. Get fixed. Get established in your heart in the Lord. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, hopefully I get the names right, to be of the same mind in the Lord. So to be unified and in the same mind. Ephesians chapter 4 says that we're all working together to be unified in the faith. Yes, can I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Then he says, final exhortations. Rejoice in the Lord always. So closing out the year here, reminder for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Feast of Tabernacles, reminder to rejoice. And I'll say it again, he says, rejoice. Notice, rejoice. Re means to do it again. Re means to do it again. Re, keep having joy. Keep doing it. Keep doing it again and again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. I often say it's the forgotten fruit of the Spirit. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Notice, he's not far. He's right there with you. He's in you, inside of you. He's moved in. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Now we talk about getting positioned in the light. Getting positioned in the light through thanksgiving and prayer positions you in the light. This is not saying that you're not going to have issues. In every situation, even in the face of issues, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So get positioned in the light through thanksgiving and prayer and petitioning God. And when you do, the peace of God, notice what happens on the backside, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. One of the concepts we've talked about before is peace. It's almost like a bouncer. It sits on the outside of your heart and protects your heart and your mind to keep things out that aren't supposed to be in there. It's like a bouncer at a nightclub. It's sitting on the outside, keeping things out that aren't supposed to be in there. When you have that peace, and how does it come? Thanksgiving and prayer. Notice on the backside of it comes the peace. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What are we supposed to be thinking about all day long? Whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. That's a way for us to magnify that light. Thinking about those things consistently, because where does our minds tend to go sometimes? Onto all the issues and the problems. We got to learn to spin it back around. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. This is where we talk about, you got to do the things that you know to do. Do the things that you know to do and do them with joy. Do them with gentleness. Do them with peace, guarding your heart and your mind. And the God of peace will be with you. He's a God of peace, and the God of peace will be with you. Next subtitle, thanks for their gifts. Notice the theme here, joy. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content. Some versions say I've learned the secret of being content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Some versions say I know what it is to be abased, and I know what it is to abound. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. We've talked about this year that we all have something like a missing puzzle piece that's on the inside of us. This missing puzzle piece that only God can fill. And for many of us, we go searching for it in other things. People go searching for it in food, in alcohol, in drugs, in sex, in education. All kinds of things. We go in money and stuff. We go searching for it in all these different avenues. And you get these things, but you still don't feel fulfilled. There's still this missing piece on the inside. Many people go searching for it in relationships. And there's this missing piece that only God can fill. And when you find that missing piece, which is God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the treasure. That's the treasure that everybody's searching for. And that's the secret where you can be content no matter what's going on around you, because you've got that peace and that joy of the Lord on the inside of you that is your strength. You can have that peace and that joy of the Lord on the inside of you. That missing piece is filled. That void has been fulfilled. And if you've got God with you, everything's going to be okay. No matter what's going on around you, you can have that peace on the inside. Whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. Then he says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more may be credited to your account. So Paul's saying, I really do appreciate you guys were willing to give and to help me when I was in need. But not that I was desiring your gifts. What I really desire is that those gifts that you give, your generosity is being credited to your account because you gave it cheerfully. I've received full payment and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory. This Feast of Tabernacles, reminder, God's glory is on the inside of us. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. We talked about God's power, his grace, his glory. They're all surpassing. Whatever need that you have, he's more than enough. He's all surpassing. He's got enough to surpass every need and desire you have. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we're going to take communion over this. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for just your grace. I thank you for your love, that you're willing to send your one and only Son to die for us. And if you would do that, how would you not freely give us all things? And you said that all of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. Look at all these amazing promises in here, Lord. Just thank you for these reminders for us. And that you're the God who meets all of our needs according to the riches of your glory. All of our needs, not just financial, but all of them in every area of life. Father, we're just receiving that from you today. That you meet all of our needs according to the riches of your glory in Christ Jesus. And as we close out this yearly cycle for this year, Lord, we just thank you for all you've done throughout this last year. All that you've helped us to grow in, been teaching us and training us, so faithful to do that. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Take it." Told his disciples, "Take it. Receive it." Receive what? God's with you. He's for you. Jesus makes you right and holy and perfect by his one sacrifice. Made you holy and perfect forever. It's a pretty amazing thing to think about. We think that that's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Receive that he meets all of our needs according to the riches of his glory. And that glory is within us. It is within us. Learning to receive that from him, get it flowing through us so that it goes out into the world. So Father, we just thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. And we can have this new covenant with God, this covenant relationship with him, covenant of love and life and peace with God. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's about walking it out. I would encourage you, take some time today. Reread this passage of scripture, Philippians chapter 4. Take your time. Just meditate on some of the promises that are in here. We're getting ready to start the yearly cycle over. Symbolic of new beginnings. So be prepared as we go over the next couple weeks here. God often begins to shut some doors, to close some doors behind us, to open some new doors in our life. Things often start moving around and start transitioning as God begins to move the pieces around. And sometimes that's change, right? Change sometimes can look scary. But if that starts happening, pieces start moving around over the next couple weeks here, you can know that it's God moving those pieces around. That's part of his timing. I've learned on this yearly cycle, as we start getting in, once we get past this closing day, the new starts happening and God starts shifting pieces and repositioning things. It's change. But what's happening? God's repositioning things to move you to the next level of what he's called you to do. And sometimes that looks scary, but just stay in faith. He's going to be working it all together for your good. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.